What is going on, guys? The Crew 3 podcast. We'll be our two co-hosts, Chris and Ricky, of course. Wow, we are.
Good start.
We're excited. Start. This is a huge episode. This is huge.
So I'm Ruckman. Below me are Chris and Ricky if you're watching the videos. Well, if you watch the video,
well, I'm next podcast. To you.
Yeah. Ladders, you go side by side.
That's right.
No, well, if you watch the video podcast, I'm on the top.
But I'm the best one.
Again, we have not been able to independently confirm that.
Oh, gosh.
Get ready for probably one of the feistier episodes of the Crew 3 podcast because no event results matter this week because on Monday
we have a new format.
We have a new format because, safe to say, when you have a new toy, you have to use it. So when you have a new yearly ban list, you have to use it.
You don't say you're going to like, oh, we're going to do a yearly ban list. And then your first one, you just go, no bans.
When you build the Warwolf, you can't go home without using the Warwolf.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
We don't care if you surrendered. You're going to go back inside until we use it. Then you can surrender.
Then you could surrender.
I forgot, though. There are like 10 cards spoiled. I do want to talk about those real quick.
Want to go over that first? Want to go over that real quick?
So next week we'll be covering the ban reactions and then whatever more info we get from Gen Con. So this weekend at the Pro Tour, we got what, like 7 cards spoiled? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, the basic lands, and then we get an idea of what the extra sheet is. Double Season being reprinted 2 sets was pretty hot.
Yeah.
I'm actually super hyped on everything we saw, actually.
I'm really excited for Eldraine. I'm excited for Dragon Hand, Demon Man.
It's been so long since we've had a Magic set printed, which is kind of nice. I've been enjoying the break, you know?
Yeah.
But it's time to get back into it, right? Wizards, you know, they got to be printing cards. So, you know, after 3 months of not printing anything, here we go, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, I already, Eldraine is probably thematically already one of my favorite sets. So going back to Eldraine and getting like the more into the fairy tale side of things with 2 colored sets, I think is going to be really fun. I am all in for Eldraine. I'm really hopeful for the set. And I think some of these first cards, they're pretty good. I mean, let's start with just the common, right? I mean, Sleight of Hand coming into Pioneer is pretty big.
It's a good card. It's a good card.
Also, great flavor text and art.
Ponder. It's no Preordain.
Yeah.
It's no Opt. It's no Consider.
Yeah.
But it is Sleight of Hand.
It is Sleight of Hand.
And it does get around Shieldred.
It does.
So
bring your gooses with you.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks at 2 cards. That's no joke, right? That's the big deal is Ponder and Preordain are good because they look at further cards. And Sleight of Hand looks at 2 and you get the selection.
Right. It is sorcery speed. That's the trade-off, right?
True.
But like, it's not a problem.
How many of us are playing Opt anymore? I mean, you're just on Consider now, right? Like, it's just – you just only play Consider.
I'm going to be playing Sleight, Consider, and Opt because I like free Demi-Liches.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Right?
We're on the Demi-Lich train.
I think this makes like a lot of the spell-based decks a lot better.
Uh-huh.
Just another blue cantrip that you could be casting that gives you more card velocity, right?
Sure.
I think it's very good.
Yeah.
I can't wait to play with it.
We got Tough Cookie, a 1 and a green for a 2/2 artifact food golem. It makes a food token. Then for a 2 and a green, you can make a non-creature artifact you control become a 4/4 artifact creature at a turn. And then it also has the food ability. So,
Just another reason that blue is somehow the worst color for the Ensole Artifact deck.
Right. Yeah.
And 2 artifacts for 2 mana and 1 card is kind of sick. Unfortunately, Karn exists. Maybe he won't, but that's later.
Yeah. Of course, we have Evanescence.
I think this is the best card spoiled so far.
I think so. So, Cruel Somnophage, 1 and a black for a star, where its power tops equal to the number of creature cards in all graveyards. And then it's an adventure card, so then for 1 and a blue, you get Can't Wake Up for target player mills 4 cards.
This, I think, might give a critical mass. So the problem with the Dredge deck, right? is that you want a bunch of creatures in your graveyard for a lot of cool effects, right? Mm-hmm. But the cards that mill you are all spells, and you don't really care about getting spells in your graveyard. And so this plus Merfolk Secret Keeper, plus I think there's another like Stitcher Supplier and stuff like that. Yeah. I think we're now hitting a critical mass of creatures that can mill us to actually make some sort of like graveyard dredge.
Ricky, we've already seen that dredge is good. I mean, we talked about the Catoven deck last week. So dredge is already back and good.
I played against that Catoven deck.
It's hot, right?
Friday, it was hot. Yeah, it was. I
just think this card is very strong.
I think Summon of Phage is great too, and everyone is of course missing Evanescence, the whole all pre-release.
Mm-hmm.
All right, do you want to talk about the mythics? Or do you want to talk about the rare land cycle?
Well, the rare land one. We don't know how far.
Why do we have more why do we have more man lands?
So I'm just upset. Not upset. I'm not upset about anything. But like, I'm kind of like concerned that this is a man land that is enemy colored, and in Pioneer we don't have allied colored man lands yet.
Yeah.
Which is fine, because like not many of the man lands see much play in Pioneer.
Mm-hmm.
One, I think, is way better than Shambling Vent, because it's free damage, right?
Sure.
But you have to compete with Hive, and also has to compete against Cave of the Frost Dragon, which is the only bad D&D one, but...
What made Shambling Vent like playable though was the fact that it had lifelink. Like
you do life when it swings.
Yeah, but you have to attack with it. Like I've played Shambling Vent in like Orzhov decks, and it's like you can just lock that. Like a Shambling Vent can just like sit there and just like your aggro players aren't getting through because they like don't. It's a 2/3, right? Like
I kind of like this card. I like the design of this card. I don't like that I can't activate it multiple times and drain a ton of life.
Sure,
but I do like this card.
They figured it out right after you can't multi-activate. I mean, we've seen them. They don't want to do half cycles anymore. So if we don't get them all in this set, I'm going to assume we are going to get them the rest of the next salon. But at the same time, if this is the rare land cycle for the set, there's no reason we can't just get all of them. But yeah, either we either get all of them here or the others are going to be next salon, I think is pretty easy to guess at. And who knows, they might not even give us all the enemy ones. They could just mix and match it again like they've done a few times as well.
For sure.
All right, mythics-wise, we got a Planeswalker, because, hey, those...
Let's start at the worst one and work our way up.
So, White Crater? The Fairy?
The Fairy's the worst one.
All right, so Talion, the Kindly Lord, 2BB for a 3/4 Legendary Creature Fairy Noble with flying. As Talion, the Kindly Lord, is the battlefield, choose a number between 1 and 10. Whenever an opponent casts a spell with mana value, power, or toughness equal to the chosen number, that player loses 2 life. You draw a card. I think, actually, in Pioneer, you can name, like, 2, 3, or 4, and you're going to hit a lot of the time.
Yep. There's a lot of creatures in Pioneer.
I don't hate this card.
Yeah.
It has no protection for itself other than having a 4, but, right?
Sure.
It gets Fatal Pushed, because it does still have 4 toughness, right?
Yeah. You still have Fatal Pushed in the format.
Oh, you're right. You're right. There might not be any spells left. They ban everything but Talion. Right. Yeah.
Fibblethim is the last one standing.
So I don't think this card is bad by any means. It's just sort of like, I feel like this draws you a card.
Yeah. Isn't
bad, right? I feel like you have to name their removal spell number, right?
Sure.
Like you just have to name 2 or something.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've seen that, let's just remember this card's black. Right, we're definitely casting this card.
Thoughtseize, right?
So
we've
done something to see their hand.
Okay, Rockman.
We've also gotten
Thoughtseize.
Right, we've also gotten a 3/4 flyer as part of the deal.
It has no ward, right?
Right.
My opponent doesn't just lose life for existing, right?
You think ward is Bushido, or just slap it on every mythic and call it a day?
I don't see death touch, right? Like plus, like only 4 toughness. It's a 4 mana mythic, right? This should have at least 5 toughness, right?
Or the same number of toughness and about 30 more words.
Right. It doesn't gain me life. It's a blue card, though, life.
So it has to be bad.
It doesn't gain me life, right?
Right.
It's not a green card, Ricky.
You mean a black card?
I mean, it's half blue, so it can't be that good.
Yeah. It's just, come on. Shieldred. Everything has to be compared to Shieldred at four drop, and right.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about another black card though, with Ashiok, Wicked Manipulator, 3BB for 5 starting loyalty, Legendary Planeswalker Ashiok. If you would pay life while your library has at least that many cards in it, exile that many cards from the top of your library instead. +1, look at the top 2 cards of your library, exile one of them and put the other into your hand. Okay. -2, create 2/1/1 black nightmare creature tokens with at the beginning of the combat on your turn. If a card was put into exile this turn, put a 1/1 counter on this creature. That's pretty good. They get bigger. And this, then -7, target player exiles the top X cards of their library, where X is the total number of cards you own in exile.
No. Wrong. The total mana value of all
cards. Oh, the total mana value. Oh, okay.
This card is going to be a Magic Christmas Land hilarious combo piece.
Yeah?
Yeah, well, this plus Bolas' Citadel, Citadel. You should win the game.
Sure.
Yep.
Like, you will also eventually find ways to proliferate this Ashiok or cast more Ashioks, right? And then you can just -7 them after you've Bolas' Citadel your whole deck away.
Now, imagine this card when they unban Inverter on Monday.
Oh, man.
Huge.
All right. Can we talk about the best card?
We can talk about the best card, but it has the worst, like, top 8 art I've seen where they just said,
doesn't
like...
matter. This card is very good.
White Craterhoof. Tell us about White Craterhoof, Ricky.
White, 5. Actually costs 4 mana. Don't worry about it. Costs 4. I'll tell you how later. 6/6 flying. When it enters the battlefield, creatures you control gain flying and get +X/+X till end of turn, where X is the number of creatures you control. It does not have haste, like Craterhoof does, so it can't swing with the team, right? But this is Pioneer. We're not going to cast this. We're gonna creativity or transmog into it, right? There's so many cards that make us tokens, you know?
Sure.
Like, it's very easy to just have 5 tokens in play and win the game, right? Or have 4 tokens in play. This comes down and wins the game, right?
Okay, all right.
I just think this card is insane, and I think it's going to be like you thought Boros Convoke was kind of whack, right? Like, I mean, I think it can get whacker, right?
Sure.
Boros would be a good color combination for this if you want to creativity into it, you know?
I think this just adds to the number of like strange and like kind of powerful decks that you can play if you own Sacred Foundries.
Sure.
So I still think like the advice of buy Sacred Foundries is good. Like, it's, I think years ago we were like, buy Blood Crypts, right?
Yeah.
And when we first started, we were just saying buy Steam Vent, right?
Yeah.
But now I think the actual best shock land to own for playing different Pioneer decks is Sacred Foundry.
Yep.
Sure.
Buy 8 copies. I don't know. This is not
now,
a best.
Now that Chris has said buy them, they're going to get banned on Monday. So
that's exactly right. Historically speaking, that's how my.
I used to make those jokes like way back when. Back when Modern was a format.
Way it back still then. Is.
You know, back before the Angels won the pennant, you know, I used to joke that they were just going to ban Steam Vent because of how much they were like hating on Twin. But anyways.
I mean, I don't know if that was a new pro tour or not. I because Kai top 8ed, so it could have been an old pro tour for all I know.
What year is it?
Yeah,
does anybody know what year it is? Right.
All I know is I won the over under on the number of rings.
You did, but there was no prize, so
that's fine. I'm betting Chris 3 times my annual in War of the Spark Box is on this ban list.
That's right. That's right. The classic.
Also, these basic lands are really nice.
There's whoever's on the basic land team just always knocks it out of the park every time.
What I feel so stupid for buying all the Phyrexian basic foils. Like,
what do you think of the enchantment cycle?
I hate the art on them.
Really? I love the art.
Yeah, I'm a big hater on the art.
All of the art?
Yep.
Really?
Even the Rhystic Study.
All this art is sick.
I hated all of it.
Wow.
I want more Hydra Goose lore.
Chris over here, hating every orphan in the whole world.
Yeah. To Chris, the best alternate art card is still Faithless Looting.
Chris only wants anime.
This reminds me of this story of that, you know?
This art's great.
This art's incredible. Art is subjective, so everybody can have their own opinion, except for Chris, who is wrong.
Right. That's right.
that's going to be the theme of this episode.
The anime Aggravated Assault just looks like a Grand Archive card, though.
It does, yeah.
It just looks like a Grand Archive card.
Yeah.
Did you guys make friends with old Johnny Walker before this episode started? Were you guys, you guys out there partying with old Smirnoff? Wait,
Chris can be wrong, just like everyone else's analyst predictions.
I went a few rounds with
Jose Cuervo?
Jose Cuervo.
A particular Jose, right?
Yeah. Just,
Aggravated Assault looks nothing like a Grand Archive card.
What are you looking at the anime one?
Oh, maybe I'm not. I don't know. Where would it be? I'm looking at the alternate art Enchanted Tales cards.
The one with like the one where Smothering Tithe is like two girls laughing at you?
Yeah. The Ohohojo-sama Smothering Tithe.
No, I'm not looking at that, I guess. I'm looking at one where Smothering Tithe is Rapunzel is the
here. This is the art he's talking about.
Chris. Needlemaker.
This is the art he's talking about. And that's Rumpelstiltskin, not Rapunzel.
Rumpelstiltskin, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Maybe Chris has been
All right.
With Johnny Walker.
This is the also a Grand Archive card, the Smothering Tithe. The Ohohojo-sama.
Alright. This definitively does, yes.
Yeah. Alright.
Alright, back to our regularly scheduled programming where Chris isn't destroying everything that we love and cherish, yeah. You know.
Yeah,
that's I'm gonna do it again. I'm a DJ Khaled.
Oh man.
Your hopes and dreams. I want to start by talking about the state of Pioneer and get right, you guys, because we've had several people, right?
We didn't even get a little cute transition in there.
Chris is here. He's ready for it.
Like we didn't
we've
even
had
like,
several people okay. in the Discord talk about how Pioneer feels a little bit stale
yeah.
for them in particular. Maybe some of their events in their locales aren't firing. So how do you guys, knowing that, you know, we're contractually obligated to like Pioneer, I suppose, although we don't really... That's not true. We can walk away from this anytime. How do you guys feel about Pioneer currently?
So I think overall, I think the Power Level Pioneer, I feel like is fine. Mm-hmm. But I do agree with the complaints that's getting stale. Although obviously like in the last few weeks, like we've had some big shakeups in the meta, but it feels like it's too little too late. And it feels like almost like a big course correction that should have happened like already. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, if left alone, who knows, things will be fine. But I feel like people are not a big fan of what are seemingly the top two decks right now, and that is SAC and Mono Green. And while your locals might not show it, a lot of online events, like there's a prelim this over the last week where all the decks that like placed right were, it was just Mono Green and Rakdos Sacrifice. And while I'm a big fan of Ellie Sacrifice, right, I do know that it's not a deck that everyone likes. It's a deck that I like. But I can see why decks like that being top of the format, especially when there you have a lot of decks sharing the same cards. They might not necessarily be the same decks, right? But you see a lot of the same cards showing up, especially cards like Fable and things like that. The format does feel stale because a lot of decks are built around a powerful card like Fable right now.
Sure.
And so I get it. I get the complaints that it feels stale.
Ricky, where are you at?
I think that Pioneer doesn't really feel stale to me. I feel like there's a lot of interesting decks that you can play and have like success with, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that there's a couple of like cards in like specific cards that create play patterns that aren't fun. And there's a few cards that have become ubiquitous with their color. So I think that there's some bans that we can like have that are going to open up the format more rather than like close it in, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And since like the format is already kind of like ready to like, not really like, there's so many decks already that are so really close that yeah. like a few good bans here could see a like explosion of new decks, yeah. right?
Of like new decks.
I feel like Pioneer, every time there's big, like a big meta shakeup ban, the format has definitely improved. And then it's settled into a bit of a rut of like the same top decks. I think that's just because, again, Pioneer, we always talk about how underexplored it is and how new decks keep showing up all the time. But everyone just kind of feels safe in this picking the same three decks, which is fine. Like that's how metagames get established, right? Mm-hmm. But I do think that every time we see the big like 4 or 5 card bannings, Pioneer feels so much more rejuvenated. And that's for any format though, right?
Yeah.
And so I do think there was an interesting conversation. that I think it was Kevman brought up in the Discord, where it was like, are you worried about having scheduled ban lists again? And I think the only downside to scheduled ban lists is like when people just start like really, really arguing and like going over, like there's a lot of like name calling going back and forth about just like, no, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, right? And we're, I'm going to say people are wrong just to be funny and make content, right? But like everyone is entitled to their own opinions on what makes the game good or bad, right? But I do think that I would rather have this yearly ban list happen and let Wizards come in and pseudo art have a little more artificial control over the metagame versus them like announcing next year instead that here comes Pioneer Horizons and that's how they're going to control things.
Right.
I would rather them just go, okay, it's been a year. We've seen these decks really dominate. Let's remove like one piece that makes these decks utterly dominant and then just see what happens. Right. I think
almost
like a Yu-Gi-Oh style of ban list, but not like,
yeah. That's a huge change in philosophy from what Magic has done in the past. And I think that's kind of worth this discussion as far as how, you know, in the past we were so proud that, oh, a card hasn't been banned in Standard for 10 years. Right.
Yeah.
And now I think this is fine. They want to push powerful designs. It's just a different way of looking at it with the fire design cards. They've been much more comfortable going, hey, there's going to be 5 cards banned in Standard now, right? We're going to ban all of these cards. So you guys are, and this is a change from what Ricky said in the past as well, but I think it would be a cool idea as far as you'd be fine with them using the ban list as a way to shake up the format. At least, you know, again, not maybe every couple months, but once a year, if they kind of shut things up a little bit.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I think that, like, as we're going to talk about probably here before we go into what we think is going to be banned, that there are people who are guessing no bans are going to happen. And I think that when you introduce this idea of we are going to control the format with we're going to control every format with a ban list every year. And then a couple weeks after every set release, every major set releases, we can come in and say, oh, hold on. Things aren't going how we thought they would post-release. We need to have an emergency decision. But I think those are going to be very few and far between when something happens there, unless it's like really close to the yearly release and they're just like, let's give it a little more time on this, right?
Yeah.
I think we are going to see more action happen in things like Pioneer, in Standard, on the yearly ban lists, especially now that Standard is a 3-year rotation cycle. And I don't think we're anywhere near close to doing Horizon sets in Pioneer. At least I hope not. So I do think that having some control over the formats in this sense of being able to go, again, you know, X, Y, Z decks are very dominant. What are cards that we can take out of them to maybe not kill the deck entirely, but can we drop them down a peg? And that's how I would like to see. I would like to see, when we talk about what cards we want to see get banned, I will be going over cards I think that are more than likely to leave the deck as existent, but maybe not like, but still bring it down like in power level or two.
Okay. Ricky, what was your take on the, you're okay with some format shakeup type bans?
Well, the thing is, like, we live in the world where they've announced that they're going to just once a year ban list and like maybe like emergency ban list a week after every set, right? So like in that world, I'd rather they change it rather than not, right?
Yeah.
Like if we're going to be stuck with the format for a year, essentially, right? I'd rather see things shift a little than leave it alone, right?
Sure.
And it can create, I mean, like, the problem is, like, Magic is going to go the way of, like, the Yu-Gi-Oh! Ban list, right? Which is frustrating, personally, you know?
Yeah.
You know, cards, like, Pioneer was not a, like, intended format from, like, day of, like, start of design, right? Like, my thoughts are, like, when RTR came out, and then, like, later down the line when they were designing, you know,
Omnitrain,
right?
Sure,
Omnitrain.
Yeah. Right.
They weren't thinking, oh, how does this card play with RTR for Pioneer format? Because they hadn't invented that yet, right? I do think they should test for Modern and they should test for Standard. They should definitely test for Standard, right? They should know, well, we can't print Witch's Oven in the same exact set as the cat. Because clearly this is going to disrupt Standard, right?
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, here we are. the year of our Lord 2023 and Wizards doesn't care, right?
Right.
I feel like they should test for at least Standard, but clearly formats like Pioneer, formats like Modern, they can't test every interaction, so you do have to kind of step in with the ban list. I think it's embarrassing when you have to ban cards in Standard. I think it's normal when you have to ban cards in Pioneer, and that's kind of exciting. It's kind of what drew a lot of people to the format, right?
We talked about the Sam Black.
If you're not getting something banned, yeah, exactly.
How would you guys grade Wizards so far on the ban list they've made?
Like,
if you want to do letter grade or number grade, but...
While being slow to catch some things, especially during the COVID years, right?
Yeah.
I think the ban list has been almost flawless.
I agree with you, actually.
I think two blemishes on the ban list where they got the wrong guy, right?
Yeah,
sure.
Where they put the Inverter of Truth in jail.
Right. Instead of Thassa's Oracle. Yeah.
And where they put Winota in jail for crimes of whiner babies.
I will say that as much as we give criticism, which has landed us on several blacklists, I think this is one area where they have done a pretty darn good job is on the ban list for Pioneer. I am pretty happy. I mean, every time I see Teferi on there, I go, you get it. Whoever is controlling his ban list, make sure that person stays. I don't think
you can complain about the ban list when, like, we wrote like a thesis on like half the cards on the ban list and why they should be banned.
Right. We play a lot of Pioneer. Please listen to us. And whether they did or not, those cards are banned. And so, you know, again, whoever's making those decisions, great job.
We will talk. I mean, this is a bit of a preview into, I think, how we're going to end things, which is going to be like a revisit of what is banned.
Sure.
And talk about like, can anything come off? Or do you want to do that now instead of, and then we'll do what should go on? Since we're kind of already here.
So, I made a kind of like four ban list predictions, right?
Okay.
So we can get to that at some point, but I made a good, the bad, the ugly, and the based.
Okay. I do think though, before we move on, Chris, did you want to weigh in on whether or not you feel like things are stale or where they're at?
Man, I super appreciate you bringing back to that because I did have a lot of thoughts there, but I was like, you guys were on a roll and I was absolutely loving it. Because I thought it was super interesting, some of the stale talk, mostly because I was playing Boros Pia. Like, I was having the time of my life. And I really don't feel like Pioneer has always been the best format. We dealt with Uro for a really long time, right? We dealt with Inverter for a really long time where, like, Wizards wasn't willing to budge for a while.
Yeah, it should have been after the Pro Tour.
Yeah, before they finally came around. And it was really one of those things where it was, like, super odd. And so I really am not a person who's going to sit here and be like, Pioneer has just always been the best format. Modern Horizons cards are the worst. Although I don't personally like them, if you've been playing since before Planeswalkers are a thing, the Modern Horizons cards are pretty wild. Like, you would be, again, it's more comparable to Legacy than it was to old Modern, especially when you go back and watch some of the actual matches from some of the first couple Modern Pro Tours after they banned some of the generate, like, Infect things and some of the crazy
pieces
there, right? So
like that.
I have played with also a ton of people. Like, for whatever reason, our locals are thriving here in Texas. So like I've been playing 15 to 20 person locals still, rocking new decks. I played a Demir deck recently and played against a bunch of different kinds of decks, Angels Burn and then the sweet Cat Dredge deck. So, I felt really bad for people having those feelings, although they're valid. I totally can see what people are talking about when they talk about the Stainless of Pioneer, but I have been absolutely in love playing several different decks. The format's still very cheap, especially now that I have pretty much all the lands that I need, with the exception of maybe some of the slow lands. But I have really, really liked Pioneer. I haven't thought it was super stale. I thought they're, you know, just like Boros Pia came out, if we had new sets, like we're about to get the first new set for Pioneer in a couple months. And I think that was going to change things. I mean, the small set, March of the Machine, gave us the Pia deck, right? The set before that gave us new cards. So not a ton of them are probably in SAC, I guess. Mm-hmm. Right? Most like Shielder is probably the most relevant cards before that. We would probably need a little bit of a shakeup.
Aftermath released in May, right?
Sounds about right.
It's literally going to be 4 months since our last set when we get Eldraine.
And it was a small set, and March the Machine gave us Boros Convoke. Anything else? Was that where Atraxa was? Where was Atraxa?
That was the set before. But set like before. March the Machine sort of gave us like Invasion of Gobakan, right?
Yeah.
It gave us the Ren's Resolve.
Ren's Resolve, right? Yep.
You know, it gave us the Convoke guy.
Yep.
People messed around with Chromo Seed Shark, right? Chandra, which has been doing a lot of things.
Sure.
Yeah. But I think some of those cards would see more play potentially, and that's where I think some of the stale comment comes from, is that it feels like there's a lot of cards that are just a little bit held down by some of the most powerful cards that, again, you could argue are a mistake. And so that's where I could see some of the stale talk. But there have been, again, several new decks popping up and doing very, very well in the last like month, which is where I do not feel like it's stale at all, and have really been surprised. It's people who have then gone to play Modern, especially like some streamers I've seen recently, where then they go play Modern and they have an absolutely miserable time and pretend like, oh, well, this is what I'm doing now. And so it's kind of surprising. So anyway, thanks for bringing that up. Cause yeah, I've really felt the opposite of it being stale, but would not mind a shakeup just cause again, I think there are more cards that could see play.
I still think the stale thing comes from just like, we talk about how like, you know, there's a new top deck with Rakdos Sacrifice, but the problem is when its play style is still like turn one Thoughtseize, turn two Blood Tithe Harvester, turn three Fable of the Mirror Breaker. Right. It's Rakdos spin range again with a couple extra cards, like different cards, right?
But better against creature decks. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So totally fair there. All right, where do you guys want to go on banned stuff?
So, I mean, should we get? I'm just going to post this. I'll let you guys do with this information what you think.
Sure. I think let's just talk about real quick. Let's run through kind of some of the. Let's just talk about some of the old cards real quick, because I do think like we're kind of on this topic, and we'll talk. We'll spend more time about why what cards we want to see get banned, right? Because I do think really quickly like. Like, looking at the ban list right now, right? I mean, you get Balustrade Spy, Expressive Iteration. So you Balustrade Spy, the Fesh lands aren't coming back, right? So let's Balustrade Spy, Expressive Iteration, Felidar Guardian, Field of the Dead, Inverter of Truth, Kethys, Leyline of Abundance, Luris, Nexus of Fate, Oko, Once Upon a Time, Smuggler's Copter, Teferi, Understanding Informer, Underworld Breach, Uro, Veil of Summer, Walking Ballista, Wilderness Wreck, Winota. I mean, like, easily to say that cards like Nexus of Fate, Once Upon a Time, like the truly broken cards were never coming back. And I know some people who are like, well, Nexus is only bad because of Wilderness Wreck. I've played Nexus without Wilderness Wreck before. It's still abysmal. Like,
so like Nexus of Fate, Uko, I don't know, Veil, like Uko, once, Three Fairy, Veil, Once Upon, they're just miserable cards.
Yeah. A lot of people talk about Smuggler's Copter. And so, if you think Fable is everywhere in a problem, welcome to Smuggler's Copter. Right. I don't remember, like, even, like, there are people who talk about banning Smuggler's Copter, unbanning Smuggler's Copter, and like, number one, were you playing when the format first started and Mono Black Aggro was, like, the most disgusting deck being able to pitch their one drops to Copter, attack with it, get them back for free, just up insane amounts of value? Or did you play when it was in Standard? And, oh boy, that was a mistake as well. Like, I haven't played a format where Smuggler's Copter was just like, this is a fine card to exist.
Yeah. I think if you look at the One Ring and you go, oh, you know, yeah, this is a strong card. One of the biggest problems with the One Ring is that it's a colorless artifact, and that, like, every deck now plays it. And again, Ricky said, you know, ubiquity earlier. That's a huge part of why Smuggler's Copter is a problem. It's like we tried it at the beginning of Pioneer. That was not banned on the starting list on cards of Pioneer. It was just in every single aggro deck because it had to be played because it's a colorless artifact. And that's why it's very, very strong also, but it is so strong and every deck has to play it. You basically just remove four cards from every deck, every aggro deck, because you want to play this card. And so the format is definitely better off without it. I don't think that's a question in my mind.
Any deck that plans to have a creature. The thing is, if this card costs black, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
This card could cost black colorless, right?
Yeah.
And it would be fine, actually. I think the effect is very strong, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The problem with this card is that it goes in every deck. You don't have to like stretch for it at all. If your deck plans to play any number of creatures at any point in time, this card is just strictly better to play than other cards that you could be playing at two mana. So... Yeah. With no color restriction, this card is just ubiquitous, right?
Yeah.
So if this card costs black, colorless, I would say sure.
You know, then you can play with my Deathrite Shaman.
It would have never gotten banned, right?
Yeah.
But it doesn't cost black colorless, it costs two colorless. And so you play it in every red deck, white deck, black deck. You play it in every deck that plays a creature. You don't play it in like blue-white control, and that's it, right? You can't play it in creativity, because they can't play artifacts.
That's
about it.
Like, people talk about Luris, and it's just like, we're past the point of Luris mattering. Like, creature decks are powerful enough now that they don't need the handicap of Lurrus. And I think, like, looking back at Lurrus format, it was actually just kind of holding, I think, deck design back in a lot of cases. So, like, Lurrus, whatever. Like, should it come off? Could it come off? I guess. Do I want it to? No, because I don't want it to handicap people anymore.
Yep.
What else? What else do you think,
Richie? I don't think Lurrus can come off, because I think I used to be in that camp of like, I'm a strong man. I don't need no cat. I can play three drops, right? And like just getting rolled by Lurrus decks because they were playing way more efficiently and way better. I think that it's not a handicap. I think it's legitimate power, legitimate like absurd like advantage.
No, and it's very strong. I think his more point was just like, we're now to a point where people thought that like aggro was going to be dead without Lurrus. And like now, you know, now we've learned that we didn't need that man. You know, we were strong and independent. Right. And we didn't need Lurrus this whole time. We can still survive in the format. Not that it's not good. It's just people had kind of given up on aggro for a bit.
I'm like, Ruckman's kind of talking like it could come off.
I don't think it should. Much.
But it like definitely shouldn't, because it would change a lot, because it is just better than playing Mayhem Devil.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, Walking Ballista.
It just is, yeah.
Walking Ballista. Speaking of Guardian's Colorless, you know, we just talked about Ubiquity. We just went off on that one. And the problem I see is that this card can't exist with Nykthos. Is like really the place
with Heliod.
What's that?
I think it's fine with Nykthos. I just don't think it can exist with Heliod.
I think it can exist with Heliod. I think they're more powerful combo decks.
Any combo that can't exist with, this card
having,
is just...
Having very... played Mono Green, like, before we were on Karn, right, with Nykthos, like, it was fine. Like, it wasn't, like, backbreaking, but, like...
You can cast a single card in this format Harden's for 5 mana and win the game.
Yeah.
One card, 5 mana, say those words, you know? No, just kidding.
Right. If your opponent just, like, has nothing, right? You do what beat them for 5 mana, right?
Sure.
If your opponent just like on turn 4 against creativity just goes like, I'm fine, let's just shove a Shieldred, right? Then yeah.
I mean, let's say they kill your worm. Win, right? Let's say they kill your worm, you get 3 5/5s, you do it again next turn.
You don't kill the worm. If you have a kill spell, you just kill the cards. You kill the creativity targets.
Oh, you kill the artifacts.
Yeah.
Yeah. You kill the artifacts, you kill the fable token, right? Like
sure,
that's
how they're targeting creatures. Yeah.
Very fair. You know, if they've already got like 3 treasures sitting around, you know, then you know, you're gonna lose.
Usually they do. Usually they get to target treasures and or clues, you know, things like that. So that's my point, is like if that's around and is fine. You know, I want my Walking Ballista, but
just
to be fair, I did get rid of most of my Walking Ballistas now, so, you know, don't unban it. I don't have to go rebuy
Walking Ballista. Walking Ballista can't come back.
What else we got? Like, Kethys. Kethys is just is like...
probably actually too good now. I don't think it was too good when it got banned, but I think it is too good now.
Just like some 4 or 5 color legendary nonsense like Rona and stuff?
Well, like, just... Rona plus also like just I think the Mox Amber decks in general have just gotten better.
Yeah.
So I just think
like there's a reason why Eggs is banned in Modern.
Right.
Kethys is the same reason. Like it should also stay banned in Pioneer.
Sure.
Especially
when we had the deck built on like Arena, and like every time we would stream it, it was just like, is this cyberbullying? Right?
Yeah.
Just like, you lose, but you have to sit around for 20 minutes while I play with the MTGA timer.
What do you think of Cat Comp with like Felidar Guardian?
No. Nope.
But there's no Teferi anymore, Ricky. It's a seven mana combo.
Nope. Too good for Modern, too good for Pioneer.
Still have Teferi though.
If you're not allowed to play Splinter Twin in Modern, you cannot play Splinter Twin in Pioneer.
Yeah.
Field of the Dead.
This card should not have been printed, ever.
Yeah. Leyline of Abundance.
It is absolutely stupid, high roll. If you don't have an answer to the elf and your opponent plays Leyline of Abundance, right?
You're just really straight done. Lose.
You just end the game, right?
I think we're all in agreement that Inverter died from the Sins of Thassa's Oracle.
Right.
Balustrade, Spot, and Undercity Informer.
They should stay around. The deck is fun.
I think they died for the sins of best of 1Q on Arena.
Quite possibly, yes.
There's a reason why, like, Tybalt's Trickery is banned in Explorer still.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, there's, like, nothing can come off here.
No. Maybe Wilderness Wreck.
No.
Maybe.
I think
top of my unbanned list is Walking Ballista.
Yeah.
I think my second might be Field of the Dead, but I'm going to tell you right now that when Field of the Dead got banned, I didn't think it should have gotten banned. I was in the thing.
What?
Yeah. I was like, I crush this deck all the time. I didn't see the problem.
Chris is the guy who's like, I never lose this deck in my locals. It has to be bad.
No, seriously. I mean, like, it was one of those cards where everybody else was freaking out, and I was really like, I mean, I don't see the problem. Like, you probably couldn't now. I think there's too many search effects for lands, and the problem with cards like this
is that lands against me? That right. doesn't win the game. Turn.
All right. So the problem, again, that with decks like this is that you don't have to play any win conditions because your land is the win condition. Right. That's the problem with a card like this. It just wasn't incredibly, because they were all had to be differently named lands. It didn't feel as oppressive, but now that we have all these triomes and all this nonsense, it's probably too good. But at the time, we had, I think, just one set of triomes, maybe, if that.
Let's just unban one fetch land and leave the rest of the other four.
The triomes mean that one fetch land gets every single color.
your top unban actually is either Undercity Informer or Balustrade Spy,
but not both.
Right?
Don't make me choose.
Yeah. And then
which sim do you want? Probably Balustrade Spy, right?
Balustrade Spy.
Yeah.
I don't like the Undercity. So
all right, well, let's get down to the main event and defeat the Huns. Let's talk about what is or isn't going to get banned. Ricky's posted his four quadrants here, and I think we can just kind of talk about these and then just kind of add and remove as we so choose.
All right. Sure. Step one, what do you think would be a good ban list on August 7th for Pioneer? What ban list would you see and you go, yeah, that's fine. That's good. You're not excited, right? But you're like, good job, right?
Let's see here.
I put down Fable Karn. Fable Karn, nothing else. I would say, good job.
I 100% agree with you. I think Fable Karn is a good ban list.
Now, hold on here.
Yeah,
I've been thinking real deep about alternative bans to Karn from Mono Green.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to name one of them because I think that's later discussion for Ricky's quadrants here.
Right.
But, like, if they, for whatever reason, want to keep Karn around, I don't think it's a good reason, whatever they have. Maybe Karn owes them money, so, you know, he's got to stay around a little longer.
Right.
He's got to work for it. I think we could do away with Storm the Festival or Cavalier of Thorns. I think, like, don't get me wrong, right?
Yes.
Karn tutoring up anything is like way too good. Karn
is the combo. You don't need Storm the Festival a combo. You just need Karn.
I think
you just want to hit Karn.
Okay. Can I finish my point, please?
You have the floor.
Thank you. I think what really pushed the deck over the top, because there are games where you're just floundering, right? Like, but what really pushed the deck over the top is when you turn around because your friend wants some gum or they want the keys to the car, right? Mm-hmm. And then you turn back around, your opponent went from having just like two elves and five lands in play to now they have like amassed 10 more permanents because they've gone Cavalier into Nykthos into Activate into Storm into hit another Cav, hit the other Nykthos, and just like keep going off, right? So then we also flash back our Storm the Festival. And I think those cascading effects, and I mean, maybe you can talk about Q. I've seen people also throw out like Kiora for the same thing. I think turns that allow you to set up, ways that allow you to set up multiple Nykthos plays in one turn are what really push the deck into dangerous situations. Because if they were just like, hey, I get my one Nykthos a turn and then I get to do a big expensive Karn thing. Whatever. You can come back from that, right? But when they also have this Cavalier, they have like three Cavaliers in play that are just massive bodies that you don't want them to die because they're just going to go get whatever card back out from their graveyard. I think like those big plays with multi-Nykthos turns are what really makes the deck dangerous.
I think that's a fine point. I think that you can't stop all, multiple Nykthos activations because I can always play a Nykthos, activate it, and then, you know, if it's a turn after I've played the first Nykthos, right, I just activate that Nykthos, play a second Nykthos, activate it. So, like,
yeah, that's also requiring to draw two cards out of.
I like the thought. I like the thought. I think that if you want to ban Karn and something, that's fine. But I think Karn is a ban that leaves mono green intact because they still do get those things while unlocking my artifacts and stopping some of like the, oh, well, I'm going to just go fetch an 8-8, you know, with my Karn that got me value and you had to kill it. If you don't kill it, I'm going to get more
you
stuff.
You don't even go get the 8-8. Like, you just get Chain Veil and win the game. Like,
you can't.
You don't have the vote for that sometimes, though. Like, you can't just go get Chain Veil and win the game.
I think always like Karn Kiora or something like that. If you still want to play the deck,
I think a good ban list is just Karn Fable, right?
I agree. I think that's a good ban.
Fable has had its fun.
Yeah,
it's been those a fun ride.
Our patrons got good uses. Got good that's times right. out of their fables.
Yeah,
those bears were out. Those bears were looting. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And they done looted all they can loot, and they can't loot no more.
But that trench coat doesn't work anymore. We're on to their ways.
We know what's up. We know what's up.
So I think that, you know, that would be a good ban. Fable Karn. What would you, Chris, you said you agreed Fable Karn would be your good ban?
I agree Fable Karn. I agree. I think if I saw that, if you're telling me you would see the list and not go, wow, they nailed it, but that's a good ban list, I think Fable Karn is good. I think I'd be happy with that. Right. But there are other ban lists that I could see that I would go, dang, somebody at Wizards of the Coast plays Pioneer. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Brooklyn, yeah. Something like that. A ban list that you'd wake up and you'd see and you'd be like, that's a good ban list. I'm not floored, but I'm pretty happy, right?
Yeah,
I'm like 80% satisfaction, right? Would you agree? What would you say?
Yeah, no, I agree. Again, like, I'm just putting out alternatives and hypotheticals. I think that, like, yes, Karn is my ban, but I do think there are interesting cards to talk about and discuss from like most of the deck lists, right?
I'm with you. I don't think Karn stops mono green, and so if your thing was like I'd like to stop mono green while still leaving it a tier two deck, I think you would have to ban something on top of Karn. I do.
There still isn't to say that like Vivian is still just very good. Like, Vivian still tutors out a lot. I mean, like, you can't Chain Veil Infinite, but I think Vivian, like, is still possibly pretty good, especially when you have things like Cityscape Leveler being tutorable and stuff like that.
Has unresolved trauma from Mono Green. This is just known fact.
Right.
Ruckland doesn't want to see
Mono Green.
Doesn't want to see the elves ever rise again.
No, they could be in the elves deck. I'm in for the elves deck.
Right. My next kind of quadrant, as Ruckland has called them, be the bad. This is a gutting of the format. This is you wake up and you go, oh, what have they done to my boy, right? I'm not saying a good format can't come from this kind of ban, but it would change like literal everything. And my example ban list is Fable, Karn, Lotus Field, Witch's Oven, get it all out.
This sure sounds like Reddit's ban list.
This is what I would say would be a bad ban list, right?
Yeah.
I think this ban list is like, I'm at 50% customer satisfaction. I'm like, you did what I wanted you to do, but you kept going. And will the format live on? Yes, but I'm not happy, right?
Yeah.
What would you guys say would be a ban list that you would think would be it worked, but at what cost, right? Kind of like I'm not happy.
Yeah.
But the witch is dead, right?
Yeah, I don't think... So I think like Karn, I think like Karn Fable, no matter what happens, right? I do think I will be shocked if we don't wake up on Monday and Karn and Fable still exist, right?
Are still like, with us.
I'll be like, Santa isn't real. Like,
meanwhile, the mono green players or the ramparts
watch. So like those, yeah, sure. If those were on the list, I'm already going to be like, you know what? All right. They know, right? But I'm thinking, like, what is Reddit complaining about? And I'm just like, Oh man. I'm with you with like Lotus Field. And like, look, I've played so much Sack and Spirits that now that it's my time for those two decks to be top of the format, and now everyone is gonna act like they're the most oppressive, ungodly, like godless country decks to ever exist. There's the door. Please leave.
Goodbye. I've been mad about Sack for a long time.
Look.
Since
I like
season
Sack.
One. Since January of 2022, the first RCQ we went to in Waco, and I lose the finals to Rakdos Sack because I can't just not play creatures.
Yeah. Since the printing of Cat Oven and Eldraine, I have been a Cat Oven enjoyer. But no, like, yeah, I think like Oven, banning Oven is ridiculous, but like, man, I really, there is part of me that is worried that like the last 3 weeks of Sack performing has just like put it in the spotlight enough that they're going to be like, ooh, we got time to go, kitty. Like, it's either that or Mayhem, right? I think I think Lotus Field is also an overcorrection.
Agreed.
I wouldn't have
to print Hidden Strings on Arena anymore.
Yeah. I think if we want to get rid of Lotus Field, right, like, there are some cards I think we could take out just to, like, weaken it, right? But maybe the blue-white Lotus deck is enough now that I'm just like, way to ruin it, blue-white control players. Way to ruin it for everybody, right? But I still think, like, Lotus is fine. Like, Lotus is, like, an interesting combo deck that exists in Pioneer. I'm all for, like, decks that exist, like, in only in Pioneer stick around in some cases. And I think Lotus is an interesting type of play pattern that we're only getting in Pioneer that it still stays to exist. I kind of agree with you there. I think there's also the bad that exists of, like, they're also just like, well, people don't like Thoughtseize.
That was my – that's exactly what I was thinking.
What you want to put on the bad list,
yeah,
right?
I just don't think we'd ever, as a
society, right? This is one of those, like, man, I kind of hope we don't, like, overturn Supreme Court rulings that have protected people's rights for ages, right?
Right.
Yeah. I don't want to accept that we live in that kind of world, right? I don't think I could go on thinking that we live in a world that thinks that Thoughtseize is the problem.
I think another card is also just like Grease Fang. Like, we're just like, just get the Fang out of here.
The Fang out of there too.
Yeah.
I think, I think if we were adding onto the gut the format list, yeah, I think Grease Fang needs to get on here as well. And maybe even Bushwhacker or something also to get on here.
It's like Bone Crusher Giant, right? Like,
oh, I thought he was my boy.
Yeah.
But, you know, something from like Convoke, right? Something red and aggressive.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, we don't have to worry about Convoke anymore because that guy that won is a cheater.
Oh, let's not talk about that.
Allegedly, but, you know.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
But that's my bad. So they had Thoughtseize adding on. So we think Fable, Karn, Lotus Field, Witch's Oven, Thoughtseize, and Grease Fang. That would be the, Wizards is just like, the rabble is upset. Yeah. So now let's move on to what I called the ugly. This is Wizards is out of touch and out of time, right?
Out of touch.
Exactly. They don't know what a Pioneer is, right?
Yeah.
They've never heard it. They can't spell it.
Yeah. They explore. Right. Historic.
Something.
This is like the Fox crew with Always Studies, like, what form is this?
Yeah.
Oh, this is the Pioneer Regional Championship.
Oh, y'all still play Pioneer? Yeah, okay, sure.
Sure, all right, well, have a good day.
So this would be, like, I think in my opinion, completely out of pocket, completely nonsense bans that would be upset. I would be at a 10% happiness rate.
I think this is where the unbannings go, right? Like,
What I've put here is, like, we don't ban Karn. We don't ban Fable. The ban list is, we wake up and it's like, Oven and Nykthos are banned and we've freed three fairy. Right?
Sure.
The format is now dead. Thank you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, this is just like, I think you missed the point, right? I guess it would kill Mono Green and Sack, but it doesn't address the actual frustrating cards in that, in those decks, right? It puts more problems into the format. What do you guys think, if you could think of like the most ugly, wild ban list announcement that Wizards could come up
with? So I think this is where like some of the crazy unbans happen, where they're just like, well, in order to give like the aggressive decks a balance to Fable, here's Smuggler's Copter.
Well, see, yeah, the problem is, right, also, I want these to be realistic, right? It's easy to go, like, very funny and just be like, you know, unban all the cards, ban all these other things, right? Unban the fetch lands or something, right? Yeah. I think that we could wake up and see Nykthos Oven and unban three fairy. I really do think we could see that. And that scares me.
I will tell you that on the level of meme, because you're claiming this is not meme, I think this is a meme list. On a level of meme lists, though, right? When I had a list of bands that I said, hey, what do I think is most likely, right? And this is going to be controversial. This is a very controversial list. My number one most likely ban list was Fable Karn, right?
Yeah.
My number two most likely ban list was no changes. That they go, hey, the format's been healthy. We expected red-black midrange was the number one deck for so long. RC proved that out. That wasn't the case. The format's changing since then. We've seen Pia. Pioneer's in a good spot. We don't need to change anything. And that's a ban list that I actually, again, I think is the number two most likely. I think
Chris might be like,
I would be 60% happy. Like if I, you know, 80% on the Fable Karn ban, 60% on the no changes.
No changes.
Like gut everything is like a 50% happy. Yep. And then like Nykthos Oven.
Yeah. The do nothing is like the bro, I'm going to be sick.
I don't think so. My number three, and this was my meme list, was we're going to ban everything not currently in Explorer such that we don't have to do any more work on Arena. Pioneer is now on Arena. So we banned Treasure Cruise. We're going to ban Dig Through Time because we don't want to program them into Arena. And here you go. Now you have Pioneer on Arena. Go have fun, kid.
I like the meme there, but I do think the reason we haven't seen Delve cards is they're just like, well, Karn, or like we're gonna get Khans remastered, I think, announced soon.
Sure.
So that's where Delve's coming back.
That's fair. Well, I could see it.
Either way.
Yeah, I think worst possible is Teferi. That's a 0% happiness. That's a nothing gets banned. Teferi is now unbanned. Uro is now unbanned. Is like the worst possible you could do. Honestly, like
I think like Uro and Oko. I'm afraid that Wizards doesn't understand why Teferi is on the ban list and might unban it. That's the thing, sure. Right? It's because, like, well, Teferi does so good in Modern, and nobody complains about Modern because, you know, they can't.
I think, thankfully, I think
the ugly is if it's, like, more than four or five cards, and they're all just, like, the cards that the people on Reddit just, like...
More than four or five cards that aren't Karn and Fable?
Yeah.
Right. I agree with that, right?
Like, I think the ugly is if they just go to, like, every deck in the top 10 and go, like, this card from this one, this card from this one, this card from this one, this card from this one.
Arclight Phoenix is now banned. That's, like, the
nightmare theory, now.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
That would make me cry.
Now, my last
category. What would make you quit Pioneer? Is it that? If I wake up and see Arclight Phoenix banned, I think I quit Pioneer.
I think if they ban Spellqueller, I'm out.
I think if I see like Nykthos Oven to Fairy unbanned, a couple unbans, I just go, all right, we pack it in for 6 months to a year, wait till they fix this.
A standard podcast,
another Commander podcast.
We're fully converting to Grand Archive at that point,
right. Something like that.
To Glimpse 3, a Grand Archive podcast.
That's right.
Let's move on to some good ideas.
I'm here for the based.
This is my based ban list, right? This is 100% happy, Ricky.
You mess up the bottom one. Go ahead.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
The ban list is Karn, Fable, Chariot, Over the Pages, and Fire's Invention. Let me explain.
Okay. You have the floor.
Let him cook. Let him cook.
Get rid of it, right? Make Mono Green this weird deck that just wants to put a bunch of 5/6s in play and 4/4s and kill you that way, right? That's fine. I don't want to combo die. I don't want to get sideboard cards in game one against me. I don't want to have my stone brained, right? Fable, ubiquitous. Every red deck has to play Fable, and it makes so many decks happen on the back of Fable. Give it a rest. Let it sleep. It's done enough. Chariot. Okay. Hear me out.
I like this for the Grease Fang hit.
I'm not targeting boats, right? What I'm targeting Fang, because we're taking out Mono Green and we're taking out Rack-Sack and also some Rakdos mid-range. We need to balance Fang. I don't want Fang gone. I want Fang to not be able to play a fair game. Yeah. I want Fang to have to go all in. Let's get some skin in the game. Let's have to go all in on Parhelion or Sky Sovereign. No more Chariot, right? That's why I want to ban Chariot. Not for Groll boats, right?
Plus, right.
It's such a frustrating card to deal with also. Just whenever you see it, they play it in mono green too with Karn. Anyways, then I want to hit Pour Over the Pages. I did put Sylvan Scrying here, but the more I've sat here and thought about it, I don't want Sylvan Scrying banned because I want weird decks with Sylvan Scrying to work. I think that Lotus Field is a little too consistent at a solo player game, and with Impulse, it's only gotten better. I want them to have to work on it. I want them to have to try to kill me on turn 5, right?
Yeah.
And I think that, like, Pour Over Pages just, like, lets them out of a lot of bad hands that they should not be bailed out of, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I think Pour Over the Pages is a card that should get banned. Also, did you know that they could Pour Over the Pages to untap? They can use it to untap their Lotus Fields under Tomic.
Yes.
Because it does not target. It just says untap 2 lands.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And then finally, Fires of Invention. This card is not fun. It is the most frustrating part about all of the 5-color piles decks. I don't think 5-color piles should go away. I think fires should go away. I think if you want to play Enigmatic Incarnation, play it, right? Leyline into Enigmatic Carnation is very cool. I think that's a cool line of play. It's not as fun when you get to like do it for free.
I think you're right in that 5-color piles deck's going to exist, but you're picking the wrong card.
Yeah, I know
you're right. Bring to Light. Oh. That is the base ban.
The problem is Bring to Light is the worst 5-color pile deck. There's just a very good Bring to Light player in our local area that rolls y'all all a lot.
Yep.
No, I think like I'd rather see like if we want to get really spicy, like I agree, like fires is a good ban, right? I think like Escape or Omnath are interesting bans from that deck as well. I think Omnath really.
Y'all ignoring Leyline Binding. Am I the crazy one? Leyline Binding is like stupid.
Leyline Binding is a spot removal spell in white that does not get a lot of spot removal spells.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a white removal spell. It's a 5-color removal spell that costs 1 mana at instant speed.
Look, people and can
two of your things.
I don't think
if so. It only hits two of your things if they have like Mom out.
Yeah.
We don't ban Go for the Throat. That's definitely not the reason the deck is broken.
Yeah, no, Hold on.
If Go for the Throat was free, you would go, that's a problem, right? Like if we had Slaughter Pact in this format, you can't just go like, oh, removal spell's the problem. It's a one mana instant speed removal spell. That's what I'm talking
about. When was it free? Did you say spend 1 mana?
I did say spend 1 mana.
Wow. Not free?
Not free. Instant speed.
Leyline isn't free. It costs folks like you and me.
By the time Leyline is free, right? Like it's already turned like 4 or 5. I think like when they're playing it on turn like 3 and when it's just like an instant speed Oblivion Ring, like whatever, right? Because their lands are coming in tapped or whatever. Like it sucks when you're playing like the Rakdos deck and yeah, you can't do anything with it, right? But if you're playing a green deck, if you're playing a white deck, because guess what, guys? You gotta pack your naturalizes, you gotta pack your enchantment removals. Like I'm not saying you're doing this right, but like people in Pioneer players have a history of like losing to a card and then refusing to adapt to it, right? Like pack enchant removal, pack creature removal for Winota. It's a history of this format. Learn to beat card types.
Yeah, a wise man once told me that if you're only abusing a card at its like best, then that's what the card is for, right? Like you guys wanted to ban Thassa's Oracle, right?
Yeah.
Leyline Binding is a one mana card. It gets played against me on turn 2 frequently, turn 3 very frequently, right? It's and it only costs one of whatever mana that they've played. So like that was my point, is that like that's a card that without access to that, if they have to play other removal spells, then I think the deck is a lot more fair. Because I hadn't had a problem with the deck. We haven't had seen that deck. The deck was Nivtalite before, right? Now all of a sudden it's this new version of the deck. I think mostly because of Leyline Binding. Like Leyline Binding is the upgrade that have made people even go, oh, I don't need other removal spells, right? Before we were playing Chain of the Rocks and we were playing non-Karuga, we were playing other ones. With the addition
of they're still playing Chain of the Rocks.
No, they can't in Karuga.
They can't in Karuga. It costs one.
I don't think Karuga is the best version of the deck.
Well,
it has
the been. Point is, I don't think a one mana instant speed removal spell is problematic, especially one that can be also interacted with.
Sure.
Like, would you want to ban Fatal Push? That costs one mana. They can play it on turn one and kill your creature.
No, I want to ban Leyline Binding. A card that I've read many a time. A card that interacts with permanents into the battlefield triggers. Right. It also interacts with the deck very, very favorably because they're an enchantment deck that they then sack off that 6 mana enchantment and go get an Atraxa. Right. Like,
yes.
This is where you guys are missing this point entirely. As far as like it's a one mana tool, it's not. It's a permanent that costs 6 mana that gets sacked to go get a 7.
But right, I like that.
And costs one mana. It didn't cost them 5 mana. It didn't cost them 6 mana. It cost them 1 mana. They then sack it and get a 7 drop if they want to. This is the problem.
You realize Fires of Invention was a Fatal Push. Play cards for free, right?
What's that? If all it was a Fatal Push, I wouldn't even be having this discussion.
Fires of Invention.
Fires of Invention makes them play Magic on their turn. It's they fairy themselves.
Right.
So
right.
That's why it's fair.
Four mana immediately. You play it. It gives you 4 mana. You can't respond with it. If you have a Naturalize, you can't just like, oh, Fires, I'll just Naturalize it. No, they get to play a card for free.
This
is true.
They
get their mana value worth immediately. And then if you blow it up, that's fine. They still got their mana's worth. And then if they untap, now they're getting 10 free mana and can activate whatever they want to activate with their lands. Like they get to buy Karuga.
We're having different arguments. But where are we different arguments? You're telling me that Leyline Binding is like the worst card. We should all just take them all, light them on fire, because that card does nothing. It doesn't exist. It doesn't matter that it's 6 mana permanent. I'm telling you.
The card isn't good. I'm saying the card's not ban worthy.
I'm telling you that Fire's Invention is a good card. It is just a card that I'm like, wow, when I see like a problem of a thing, that's like the main problem I see. But I'm not going to sit here and tell you Fire's Invention. Well, what does that card even do? It's a 4 mana enchantment. Learn to play enchantment removal, guys. Learn to play enchantment removal, you know? It's got a free card on the other hand.
Chris is going to work for Wizards of the Coast now.
I'm still on the blacklist. I can't get hired.
Oh no, they're gonna green light you to the top all the way.
Yes,
okay, perfect. Here's a card I want to see if you what the base level of this ban is.
Sure,
Gigantha.
I thought about it.
It's like on my the base last list. Really free companion.
Yeah.
I thought about it, but like, I don't think
Gigantha or Yorion.
I don't think either one should get banned. I think they're fine.
Yeah.
I do think there is cost to Gigantha.
Sure.
I do think there is a lot of cost with Yorion. Mm-hmm. I do want to ban Yorion because I hate bad math.
Sure.
And 80 card deck is worse than 60 card deck. It doesn't mean you get more good cards. That's not how it works. You get the same number of cards. You get them less. I'm going to start and I won't stop. Right?
We can't. We don't have time for a 2-hour
one episode. Okay. Hear me out. Yeah. Right.
So we get the whiteboard.
Keep Karn banned. Old Growth Troll.
You really hate green.
No, I'm just thinking of interesting cards, right? Old Growth Troll is a card that, like, no matter how you deal with it, it's giving them devotion.
I agree, though. I hate that card. I think if you really want to just plummet green players into the core of the earth and like punish them for being absolute degen scum, right? Then you hit 2 cards. I think you only need to hit Karn. I think it's punishing enough.
Yeah, I agree.
Watching them try to close games with just like random dingus 5/6s and 4/4s is like not a bad strategy, but it's definitely nowhere near as powerful as the deck has been.
Like, I'll be honest, I really just want Pioneer to be a format where I can play mid-range decks that feature either Godless Shrine or Overgrown Tomb.
And with Fable and Karn banned, you can.
Yay!
You can play my Siege Rhinos again?
No.
Let's not get too ahead of ourselves.
All right,
you can play them.
Shieldred is better.
I need, I need no one to play Rhino because then I owe Chris three times my annual War of the Spark Boxes.
Speaking of which, we haven't brought up Shieldred this entire time. Any thoughts on old Shelly McShellerson here?
We've learned how to kill Shieldred. Economy.
You guys both went at the same time. Say it again.
Go ahead, Ruckman.
I think we've learned how to kill Shieldred faster than we learned how to kill Winota.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that banning Shieldred would collapse the global economy.
fair enough.
I'm not kidding. It's literally the most expensive card in Pioneer by a lot, by like a large margin.
Right.
Marge sent you?
Yeah. I just think that literally banning it, it would just, Kalidas's suddenly have to jump from like a bulk mythic to like $50 again, right?
Kalidas or like Carefax.
Just to curve the money in, money out of Pioneer. Right. No, like, it's too big to fail, right?
Too big to fail. Yeah, sure.
I want to see, like, can we make, like, the Big Short but Magic cards?
That's been done.
Yeah. Look, they're just bragging about it.
Oh, my gosh.
How far down on the list do you guys think the Delve spells are?
So far down.
You think real far down?
Yeah.
Fair enough. Yeah, I mean, they really just haven't been a problem without the ability to fill.
By the Delve spells, you just mean Treasure Cruise? Because, like, what, people play one Dig Through Time and Dimir Control now, and, like, that's it?
I think that Hooting Mandrills has seen more play recently than Treasure Cruise.
You might be right. I mean, Treasure Cruise is in one of the decks like Phoenix, whereas, like, I think Phoenix is way more popular than the Neoform deck and stuff like that.
I'm
with you. I think it's a good comparison. I think you make a good point.
I think Pioneer should be the format where Treasure Cruise is a good card.
Yeah.
It would be a really based play.
What?
Banning Redain.
No. Wizards of the Coast doesn't even know what that card does. I don't know what based means. That's a good sign to end the episode.
I just don't think we'll be as based as MBT banning polymerization in Master Roulette today.
I've not seen any show that isn't Prague or History.
Yeah. Man, speaking of based, Gage's deck this week in Prague.
Yeah, Prague was insane. People who say that it's the worst episode are bad.
Yeah.
But anyway.
At the end of the day, dust settles, right? Like, unless, like, something really crazy happens, I think, like, if we just get Fable and Karn banned, like...
We're happy,
right?
Now, I think that list is the most based.
No, I like, you're extra, like, you're the base list, right? I think it's good. I agree, like, I think, like, I don't want to ban Greasefang, right? But I do think, like, giving them Chariot just to, like, really draw out games, just make them go for it, right? Or you go play, like, the Esper builds again, like, stuff like that, right?
Right. Make them have to commit to killing me.
Yeah.
Don't let them play a slow game until they decide to kill me.
Yeah. Like, please don't hurt my ovens or my, I don't think I, can you just, if I wake up like Mausoleum Wanderer's banned, like.
Zach Ruckman has been banned from all tournament play of Pioneer only and must qualify with Modern.
Playing Grand Archive.
I could go play, we're just only Grand Archive then. Which, speaking of that, I'm working on some Grand Archive content for the YouTube channel, so keep an eye out for that.
Heck yeah.
I'd be fine if they banned something from SAC, honestly. That's not just Fable.
No.
Yeah, I would be okay with it. I would be okay with it. Just because I think it punishes creature decks, which is where I like that Pioneer, you have to attack and you have to block, you know?
You have, like, to do that with SAC. Eventually.
I think Fable is good enough.
You also steal their creatures and kill them that way. Like, you got the value.
It's fine, because if we ban something from, like, that's fine, because with Karn being banned, then we can just play Artifact Sac again, and then Oni Cult becomes really great.
I think that's it. It's like, I still think you have a lot of other avenues if you don't have, like, a Witch's Oven or something like that, you know?
Chris, what's your base list?
I think my base list is very similar to yours. I think that, again, I would delay Line Binding on there just for the combo potential. That's my personal choice. And then I think I really like it. I would actually rather see Grizzly Salvage than Chariot. Just because I think the dig power is a little too strong. I'm fine with the backup plan, but I think Grizzly Salvage is pretty strong. Like, that's where I'd kind of want to start. But I do really like your point. So, like, you might be smarter than me on that one. I think that was a really interesting take that I wasn't ready for when I sat down today. So I'm going to give it to you on the Chariot one because I think that's really good. The only card I think I would want to see added here would be a Witch's Oven. That'd be a card that I would rather see more Oni Cult Anvils and things like that, with also Karn Banner, so we can play cards like that. Than like a free, like, hey, I can steal your stuff and sack it, you know?
I think it's okay to ban Witch's Oven because we're about to print Witch's Oven 2 Electric
Boogaloo.
Yeah, there we go.
Witch's Oven.
It costs zero.
Witch's Oven, yeah.
Yeah.
I like Eldraine, what I've seen so far and everything. I'm kind of disappointed that we are just doing adventures and food again. But yeah. I guess I'll take any amount of cohesion, even if it's separated by.
I think going back to some of these sets are going to give us a chance to revisit some of these pairs that can't just a big deal.
Yeah,
I agree. I would like to see some more synergy. I would like to see some decks built around some of those mechanics that, like, just because I think they diversify the format.
Definitely just ordered foil keepers and foil clovers.
How many gooses?
I need to go order gooses still, but. I got the innkeepers and clovers because they're like 20 cents foil.
Hell yeah.
All right. One last question for kind of bans. What are, like, say these, like just decent bans happen, right? Like, we get Karn, we get Fable, we get, like, a couple other, like, maybe some of the base cards or some, like, cards that just aren't going to, like, we feel bad about getting banned, right? What are decks what are some cards you'd like to see opened up?
And that topic for next week, and then next week's ban reaction topic is we'll talk about that and what the format looks like now.
All right, that's fair.
I think we move on to the Patreon question.
Yeah.
All I know real quick is that my food tokens are about to hold some scissors. That's all I know. That's what I'm excited for with Eldraine coming out. Yeah, these food tokens are about to be five fives. They're about to be five fives.
Oh, man.
All right.
Putting the nail files in the cake, huh?
That's right.
Chris is playing Fluffle over here.
The flump check.
Man, should we? I've been watching a lot of some Yu-Gi-Oh stuff, and I would have loved to have played Fluffle, or maybe we'll play some Pearly in Yu-Gi-Oh right now.
There's a shop that's like a little bit out of where I can drive weekly, right? Called like Heart of the Cards.
Ooh, that's based.
And they're doing the most based thing I've ever seen.
Okay.
Which is for $20 a month from now. Like August 1st, it was the start of it, to the end of the year.
Okay.
You get 6 packs of Legend of Blue Eyes and add 1 pack each week playing,
the Brog series in it.
Playing in a league, right? Uh-huh. And at the beginning of every month, then you get 6 packs of Metal Raiders, then 6 packs of all the way through to IOC by the end of the year.
Hell yeah. And
you got like some huge amount of prize at the end of it all.
That's dope.
So that's sick.
That is really cool. Staples. Rest of that store. I hope that works out really well for them. Cool idea. And I really like stores having cool ideas, so like bring players in and then have it like, and then having it work, you know?
Right. I mean, like it's, you know, Yu-Gi-Oh's 25th anniversary, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, they blew Wizards out of the water with their 30th anniversary for nobody. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Imagine having an anniversary for everyone instead of an anniversary for nobody.
Well, yep. We now know they're just making Magic cards for Post Malone.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Heck yeah. Heck yeah.
Nice. Okay.
Well, let's end things off here with Patreon mailbag. We are, of course, supported by our wonderful Patreon, patreon.com/crew3mtg. Silver Great tiers available. If you are swag bag tier members, I have to apologize. I had to reorder some of the July cards. They're all here now. And by the time you hear this episode out, July will be in the mail to you. So, and then, of course, I was able to also make sure some of our late signups also got covered in that. So
yeah, huge. So if you signed up late, a lot of people wanted the swag bag. We had a lot of signups for the swag bag.
Now we got to figure out. I'm waiting for Monday. I usually have to order the cards by now, but I'll wait till Monday and we'll see if we can get something spicy.
Yeah, there we go.
Something spicy on Monday. All right. But of course, every tier you do get access to our Patreon only channels where we can ask for podcast topics, just kind of see what's going on, get a feel for things. I get exclusive videos or early release videos over on Patreon before they get up to YouTube when Chris does like things like deck text, things like that for Magic. And then, of course, everyone gets access to the Patreon mailbag channel where you can ask questions that sound something like this. This comes from Kid Wynn, who asks, what's some of the best or worst food y'all have had while traveling to or from a Magic event?
I know the worst food. Go ahead and tell them, Ruckman.
So neither of us ate this, but this was someone in our car who decided it'd be a really good idea to get buffalo wings from Sonic at 6 a.m. and then had a bad time for the rest of the event. Didn't eat dinner because they're having a bad gastro time.
Right.
On the way back to the car from eating, they go, "I'll catch up with you." And they just walked into a random hotel. And then they caught back up to us at the car like 20 minutes later. They're like, "I pleaded for my life to have let me use the bathroom, the lobby bathroom." And at one point, as we're driving on the highway, looks out the window and goes, "Maybe if I," and everyone in the car simultaneously thought, "No, you cannot stick your butt out the window as we're driving down the highway."
And
that also let
just want to get closer to the door so they can jump out of the car fast.
Everyone, as he's looking for the window, is just like, "Maybe if I," "No, you're not doing that." We then stop at McDonald's like 10 minutes from his, like really close to their house. He's like, we have to stop. So we stop at McDonald's.
I can't make it, right? Yeah.
And everyone's like, "Okay, we're getting McFlurries and ice cream. You cannot have McFlurry ice cream." He's like, "That's not an issue."
Yeah.
He's been in the bathroom so long that someone goes to check on him, and our friend comes back and goes, "God is testing that man in there."
Don't eat. This episode is not brought to you by Sonic.
It's not sponsored by Sonic.
Do not eat their hot wings.
It's not
at 6 a.m.
So, like,
I don't know why they're selling them at 6 a.m., to be honest.
Right. There's a lot of top-tier options for food, right?
Yep.
Yep.
Jen.
Korean barbecue.
Fuggo.
Riskies isn't good, but
it's a lot of food.
It's tradition, and it's a lot of food. And honestly, no joke, at DreamHack, I think the best meal we had might have been at Olive Garden. Not really, because we went to Jen. But Olive Garden was a magical time, actually.
I got you guys in the deep dish ziti appetizer. The deep dish ziti, like the baked ziti, right?
Yeah.
That Olive Garden was dope. I mean, before it closed, the Bird Cafe.
The Bird Cafe, very good.
What was the place, Ricky, you weren't allowed into because they closed the doors?
A Capital Steakhouse or something like that.
Yeah.
That place, I don't know how that place would taste because I wasn't allowed in because I was still playing in the event. That's when SCGs were just like 12 round slogs.
Yeah.
You know, 13 rounds. We'll play top 8 in the morning, you know?
Yeah. I mean, to me, like you can kind of find like good food ever. I think like the best thing is just like finding a restaurant that you can like set up at like after a long day of playing Magic and just have like fun with your buds. Like,
I think it's easy in Dallas. All our answers have been from Dallas, right? Because we're from Texas.
It's in Austin, easy in Dallas. You wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning in Austin, you can go to Kirby Lane. That's a good spot if you're in Central Texas as far as like late night eating goes. But if you want a better than Fogo de Chao experience, Estancia, that's a chain that's quite a few places. That's a Brazilian steakhouse. So
I think I'm thinking more like we got to help the everyman, you know, the grinder.
Whataburger?
Sure.
Right.
The grinder going out to like literal nowhere, Waco, Texas, you know?
Yeah.
Yep.
And you know, like, that Bubba's.
Finding the good places out in like nowhere, right? Like, you know, sometimes there's not much better than Cheddar's in Lubbock, Texas, you know, after a PTQ, right? And, you know, you find hidden gems like George O's or whatever that place was called.
Waco, mm-hmm. George's,
that place was great, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
George's, home of the Big O.
Home of the Big O, you got it. Yeah,
I think the big thing is like, find a local and have them recommend a place.
That's right.
There was that pizza place.
As long as I'm a lawyer in
College Station. I don't remember. That one was pretty good. It was not terrible.
There's the pizza place we go to when you're here.
Locatelli's
just like my local pizza place.
Yeah.
If you want everyman options, if there's a Whataburger in your state, you're lucky. That's like a safe fast food place. Pizza, you know, find a good pizza place. If they got reasonable reviews, pizza is going to be good.
What's that one pizza place that you're like, that you, Ricky, you're just like, Chris is like, swears against the devil on? Is it Mafia Pizza or whatever?
Pizza Patron.
Pizza Patron, yeah.
Chris does not like Pizza Patron.
Dragging, kicking, and screaming inside of a Pizza Patron, yeah.
I've honestly had decent experiences at Pizza Patron. It's a little pricier than I want it to be. That's about it.
Really, though, the real pick, Ricky passed over it. But if it's past like 10 o'clock, hit up your local Applebee's for half price apps.
Oh, my gosh.
Let the degeneracy flow.
Degenerate Applebee's. Honestly, the restaurant doesn't make the food good in a magic event.
It's definitely the people, right?
It's the people, yeah. Right? Yeah. You could literally go to Taco Bell at 2 in the morning. If you got the whole squad there, it's going to be a good time, right?
Yeah.
As long as it's not a Sonic at 6 a.m.
Exactly, right? That's about the only place I wouldn't
make
go.
Smart Sonic choices, you know?
If you are lucky enough to exist in the supply chain of Brahms.
Ooh, Brahms is good.
Brahms is incredible, especially if you're deprived of it. I hear that if you live where there is a Brahms, you become a cold-hearted, terrible person that hates Brahms, like Chris.
How many people am I upset by saying, hey, In-N-Out's not worth it?
I actually like In-N-Out. I just don't like I don't like that they ask me when I go through the drive-thru. In my car. Because I don't think you need to know that.
I don't know what church I go to, too. Come on now. You know what I'm saying?
I'm also going to wrap it in a different way.
Hot Dogs is overrated.
Yeah, that is upsetting.
Honestly, is overrated. I've been like the last few times I've been, not great.
You guys are crazy. I don't understand the world I'm living right now. Hot Dotties is like definitely one of the better burgers. Like it's a burger place, but the queso fries
are wrong. Before a PTQ, the toasted yolk in Cedar Park, Texas.
Yeah.
I've never been unhappy there.
Fair enough.
Waffle House.
Mm-hmm. Play the credit card game.
As long as the Waffle House isn't clean, you need a slightly dirty Waffle House. If you go to a very clean Waffle House, leave. That's a
sting operation by the FBI.
Right. Speaking of leaving, I think this episode hour and a half. You know,
Chris's cards have turned to a pumpkin.
That's right.
All right, well, that'll do it for this week. Thank you for the question. Again, patreon.com/crew3mtg to sign up for our Patreon there. Give us a help out. All right, gentlemen, where can they find you on the social medias?
You can find me zeeting over at zeets.com at @its_Christmas, and Christmas has no T for now.
Yeah, my ex will also give it to you at also Steve, right?
Yeah.
Where you can see me Xing. All of life's quandaries.
Also, shout out to listener Jason, I believe his name was, that I battled against this past weekend. Absolute pleasure, and was fun to know that we got people out there. We got slingers out there.
Ooh, slingers.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a gang thing?
Yep.
It can be.
Okay. It's going to be.
Where can they find you, Ruckman?
You can find me at Crew3 Podcast. You can also find me running things over on our YouTube channel at Crew3MTG. Over on YouTube. Like I said, me and the wife put up the video where I showed her magic cards and she said if they were good or bad.
It's the best piece of YouTube comment we've ever put out.
We're already discussing recording some more here soon. So get ready for more Cast or Pass. I'm working on some Grand Archive content, some stuff that I'll be putting out, sort of like talking about the game, sort of like introducing the game, maybe going over some decks, stuff like that. Gameplay footage we'll see, because Tabletop Sim isn't the most like fun to use platform, but that's the only online platform we got right now, right? But I do just want to talk more about the game and introduce people to a wider audience. I think the game is really something to look at and get interested in. And then I will be working on a series that won't debut until around the time of what is called The Ascent, which is their first GP, where I will be battling on the Path of Silver, which is essentially a beauty pageant for playing cards and collectible cards. So I'll be working on a short form video series I am calling Deck Boxes and Tiaras.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Chronicling the prep work I'm doing for that and sort of like what happens at the actual event and stuff like that. So I'm definitely interested in talking about that, just because whether or not, like, I don't think we're going to top 8 it, because we're not whaling. We only have 2 CSRs and not like the entire collection of them, right? So I'm not thinking we're going to top 8, but we're going to make a hell of a run for it to try to hit, like,
we're going to make a run for it.
We're going to make a run for it. So I think it's also just going to be a fun, different type of event for card games to show off and highlight. And I want to do that just to show again, I think why Grand Archive is so interesting and what makes it different from other card games. So be sure to look out for stuff like that. And then, Ricky, are you going to start streaming again soon?
I plan to stream, well, right now. But I guess right now. You can't. It already happened. You missed it. Yeah. I plan to stream Wednesday nights after we record. That's always the plan. Cool.
And then I'll need to get better about putting the VODs up on YouTube again afterwards so people can check that out. Are you going to do a big One Piece set review stream soon, or what's the current? Are you going to do more stuff with that soon, or what's the plan?
I don't know what I'm planning on doing with that. I might throw it up somewhere if people want to see that content. I might make a YouTube video or something of some stuff. I know I occasionally just drop stuff in the Discord if you're part of that Discord and you want more information about that project of mine. I'm looking for people to like read things and tell me if they're the cringiest things you've ever seen. So, that's what I'm looking for.
Those that know what we're talking about, Ricky has been working on for several years now a custom magic. I mean, it is, right?
Yeah, like,
It's a custom set built around the One Piece universe, utilizing existing mechanics, brand new mechanics.
It's taken so long that One Piece has come out.
Yep.
And a lot of the cards I've designed have also come out.
All right, well, that will be it for this week. We'll talk to y'all next week, and buckle up. Next week, we'll have band reactions.
Brand new world.
And plenty of spoilers to probably talk about as well.
Yeah, hottest 2 weeks of Crew 3 history.
We'll talk to y'all next week. Bye.
Bye. Bye.